Sunday Meditation, May 7th, 2000. A question this week concerns the concept of the emotions. A couple of months ago, Quo described emotions as the thinking of the deep mind and said something about how we might be able to utilize our emotions in our spiritual evolution, and we would like Quo to elaborate on that today and to let us know a little bit more about the fruitful use of the emotions in advancing our spiritual journey.
We are those known to you as the principle of Akua. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. We thank you for calling us to your session of work in this day. It is a great blessing to us to be able to speak with you on the subject of the emotions and their role in working to accelerate the rate of your spiritual and mental evolution. It is our privilege to be able to address this subject, but as always, we ask that you refrain from following our suggestions without careful thought. For that which we have to offer is opinion and consideration, which we are glad to share with you, as long as you understand that we are not authorities. We would not wish to be taken as authorities, for we are your brothers and sisters who walk the same dusty path that you do. There is an irresistible pull to evolution. There is implicit in the structure of each density every potential outworking of every energy within that density. In a universe of builded light, the subtleties are endless. And at the same time, progress through the gradually ascending densities is inevitable and irresistible. The only question that each entity faces is, how quickly do I wish to progress? And there is no question that you will progress. It is as necessary to our nature to progress as it is for the iron to be drawn to the magnet. It is understandable that you might doubt this, for you see instances of your own lack of perceived progress. And you see apparent lapses in progression on the part of those with whom you come in contact. When these lapses are perceived, it is easy to become discouraged. But we would encourage each of you to meet these judgmental feelings about the self and others with the courage of your conviction that all is proceeding according to an unseen plan. You are little by little and step by step gaining in experience and awareness. And each of you is on a path of strong progression. We encourage each of you to come into a fuller understanding as time goes on of the meaning of imperfection. It was not intended that third density be an illusion in which any conscious seeker after truth could honestly perceive the self as perfect. It was, in fact, designed into third density experience that from beginning to end, each person's personal experience will include perceptions of the self as being subtly or grossly imperfect, not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times and seven times seven. In other words, cyclically, without an end, throughout the incarnational experience. This would seem to be a recipe for discouragement, heavy-heartedness, and feelings of hopelessness. And yet, the actual intent is the opposite. You see, as the spirit awakens, this process of spiritual and mental evolution begins to accelerate. Whereas before awakening, you were content to skate upon the surface of life as though it were a pond. Once you have awakened, you are aware of and drawn to the depths of each present moment, the profundities implications, resonances, and overtones of each present moment are infinite. The learning in each present moment is potentially infinite. The gateway to intelligent infinity lies within each present moment. As the spirit awakens, it becomes gradually more able to hear a far more complex symphony of messages that are coming in within each present moment. The resulting weight of experience can be crushing. And typically, the spiritual seeker will scramble for a way to control this process, which seems too chaotic to be useful. The first defense of an entity which wishes to control experience is the analytical, logical, reasoning mind. There is the desire to get hold of the experience, to rationalize it and to understand the workings of it by analysis and logic. Great religious systems have been built, which encourage and structure such intellectual and logical analysis of experience. We offer, for instance, the Buddhist, the yogic, and the Taoist systems of study, learning, and worship, as those systems which are primarily designed to utilize the intellect and the faculties of reason and logic. In becoming able to distance the self from those things which are occurring to the self and which the self is feeling, we call this basic approach the way of wisdom. It has many advantages for the seeker and for those who are unable to move directly into working with the emotions. We encourage the pursuit of such study, for it does accelerate to some extent the evolution of spirit and mind. However, the way of wisdom as a general discipline, and here we do overgeneralize for effect, is a way of remaining comfortable while learning, thus obviating the main thrust of the third density experience. There is another way to look at this process of learning from experience, and that is, shall we say, the way of the open heart, or the way of love. The religion which is known to this group as Christianity is a system of study and learning and worship which moves along this path of love, or the path of the open heart. And it encourages the utilization of emotion . Now let us look at why this might be. What are emotions exactly? If you can gaze at the panoply and scope of your life experience, you can see a definite progression and coherent trail of emotions that are difficult and emotions that are wonderful. Both kinds of emotions have cropped up within the life experience in response to the difficulties and challenges of the incarnation, and in response to the gifts and joys that are spontaneously given to the heart, whether it be the song of a bird, the smile of a child, a thought that is read in a favorite book, or any other thing which has enlarged joy and encouraged faith within you as a spiritual seeker. For the most part, it well may seem that the difficult emotions, anger, guilt, remorse, fear, grief, jealousy, pride, alienation, are very much in the majority, and that the joyful emotions are given out with a miser's hand. And indeed, this seems unfair. What is the justification for the surfeit of suffering that each awakening spiritual seeker seems to face. Life is energy. Progress within life is a shift in energies. Everything that you do and everything that you think creates a certain vibrational energy. And the summation of all of these processes of energy changes and exchanges within your life represent an energy system or field that has a certain strength. To an awakened seeker that is pursuing the way of wisdom, these energies move in a spontaneous manner, and the seeker's goal is more or less to allow them to proceed. This allows the seeker to remain relatively peaceful and comfortable. However, this also creates a stiffness and resistance within the process of transformation. And this is where we get into what emotions are. If the way of wisdom contains a linear structure so that one can follow one's processes and talk logically about them, it also holds the energy within the higher chakras or energy centers. Working with wisdom is not working with the heart or with the lower energies, but rather with largely the indigo ray, and to some extent, the blue ray energy centers. While it is good to do work in consciousness in this manner, it is also somewhat unbalanced because there is no encouragement of the flow of energy through the system, but rather the holding of the energy in the higher chakras. Conversely, when one is working in the way of the open heart, one is constantly faced with the entire spectrum of self, from the lowest and most primitive emotion, the desire for survival, the desire for sexual reproduction, the desire for food and safety. Upwards throughout the system, touching all of the energy centers, rising as high as indigo ray, but again and again springboarding from the heart, so that instead of the seeker moving into and maintaining as a steady state reliance on the higher chakras, the seeker in the way of love has released the preference for work in the higher energy centers and has accepted the self as a full energy system and reconfigured the goal from staying in the higher energies to accelerating the flow of energy throughout the entire system. So that instead of a safe but somewhat turgid and slow-moving path of energy refinement, the brother and sister of the open heart are attempting to take the whole self as it is, and through blind faith alone and the processes of self-acceptance and self-forgiveness, blessing, forgiving, redeeming, transforming, and offering each and every emotion and sensation to the one infinite creator. This invigorates, energizes, and enlivens the entire system. It is as if the owner of an automobile began running the engine through its paces in such a way that it began to burn off the carbon from the valves. The way of wisdom collects detritus, shall we say, the carbon on the valves, that is not easily dealt with from the way of wisdom. The way of love is a rough and tumble way in comparison. But it also is the fast and cleaner way to use the energy system of the body, mind, and spirit. For the emotions that are the responses to catalyst are the shadows, symbols, or increasingly, as one progresses, the essence of deep and purified rivers of energy that abide within what your psychologists would call the unconscious mind. At the roots of consciousness lie rivers of purified emotion that are as gems, perfectly and regularly refracting from the white light of unlimited energy the colorations of energy, which are called emotions, which express essences which the Creator has previously learned about itself. these essences are as great truths into which the seeker taps, however imperfectly and however distortedly, as it moves through catalyst, encounters difficulties, and meets challenges. Each has felt those moments when a tiny thing triggered a massive flood of emotion. And when this occurs, it is an excellent signal from the self to the self that here is a gift that is imperfectly seen, perhaps, but that is real, that moves into the experience as a done thing, as something that is felt, not created. Emotions or messages from the unconscious or deeper self to the conscious self. Now, there are various levels of messages and various layers to emotions. It is not a simple practice to enter into one's emotions and to attempt to come into a deeper understanding of the heart of those emotions, not simply what triggered the emotion, but what kind of emotion it essentially is and what challenge it represents. In this wise, it is often helpful to think of the centers of energy within the physical body. For difficult emotions often can be placed within certain energy centers and can be seen as messages expressing to the heart the need for working with those aspects of those emotions that are disturbing in such a way as to begin to balance and clarify those feelings. For there is a deeper truth within each emotion. The key to working on emotions is to realize the seat of emotion, shall we say, as being the Green Ray Energy Center or Heart Chakra. If one attempts to work with blocked and negative emotions from the energy center in which they originate without moving into the heart chakra, there is little chance or opportunity for self-forgiveness. Therefore, while it is very important to assess and evaluate such negative emotions as probably stemming from certain energy centers, it is well to model the working with these essential and energetic nexi, which are emotions. With the model of keeping the energy in flow, moving again and again into the heart chakra, and resting in that primary emotion, which is called faith. There is a deep well of emotion whose basic goal is to move all entities into unconditional love. It is towards unconditional love that the path of your spiritual evolution is irresistibly moving. This unconditional love is the most universal and powerful positive emotion, and indeed is all that there is. In other words, the Logos itself, the one great original thought, is a purified emotion. It is not a thought precisely. A thought is linear. An emotion is global, universal, round, three-dimensional. It does not climb, it rolls. It does not fall, it continues to roll. Nothing can knock out the force of emotion. Indeed, it is that to which each must come in order to be able to graduate into the density of love, which is your next experience. Consequently, it is simply more efficient to choose the way of the heart, in our opinion, and to see the goal of working with difficulty not in achieving happiness, peace, or content, but rather simply in continuing to accelerate the pace of spiritual and mental evolution. The energy of the open heart is open-ended. It does not attach an outcome. It simply seeks greater openness of self, and a greater ability to allow these rising emotions to do the work of the refiner's fire. The seeker who has faith in the way of love has faith that no matter what comes, she will be able to survive it. That no matter how much various difficulties cause suffering and pain, she will be able to use those difficulties to refine those rivers of emotion that are rising to consciousness. It is a bumpier and rougher life to seek the way of the open heart than to seek the way of wisdom. It is a way which invokes faith without proof, reason, or logic. There is no attempt to justify hardship. But neither is there the attempt to disempower hardship by rising above it. Rather, the way of the open heart is the way of vulnerability, of remaining open, and weak in the face of strong and sometimes painful feelings. And yet, because it sees the whole of imperfect selfhood as a beautiful and perfect thing, in all its paradox, it is the wiser path for your density. There is time enough to learn wisdom once you have learned to love fearlessly, to meet each moment with an open and unguarded heart. This entity has experienced two pure emotions that it consciously knows of, grief and love. Neither experience shall ever be forgotten. When the seeker touches the heart of an emotion, and it resonates purely, it is a life-changing event. Never again will grief lay waste to this instrument as it did before it experienced pure grief. And we might say that this is so for each shade of emotion, each tributary of each river of purified essence. When each of you staggers under the load of difficult emotion, we can only ask you to think on what you basically believe to be true about your incarnational experience. If you believe that your life makes sense, and this we truly believe is so, then you are able to see that each difficult emotion is a gift from the self to the self of the truth of what that self is processing at the moment and of its relationship to the deeper truths within. If the seeker can believe that the life makes sense, then there is that faith which can be called upon. That faith that says, my life does make sense. These difficulties have a reason for being there. They are my way of learning at this moment. Then the seeker has a reason to work with these challenging and difficult feelings, to allow and even to encourage their movement through the energy system. It may help, as it does this instrument, to think of the heart as a seat which contains deity, so that there is any emotions brought to the heart, a place where they can be laid and given away to the one infinite creator. For many times emotions are overpowering and there is literally no way to do anything with them except offer them up. But if they are offered up in faith, this too is working with emotions in the heart center and is part of work well done. This instrument is informing us that we need to end our initial message. And we do so with the hopes that we have given you some food for thought that may give you some comfort as well as some resources. We would at this time transfer this contact to the one known as Jim. We are those of Akuo and leave this instrument with thanks, in love, and in light.
I'm Kuo, and greet each again, in love and in light, through this instrument. It is our privilege at this time to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, I have two questions. Kuo, you did give us good food for thought. I wanted to say that that is not the question, though. The question I have goes to a statement you have made in your talk. Would you when you said the gateway to intelligent infinity is present in every moment, would you be able to take that statement and restate it using other words? Because I don't find entry into it.
I am qua. I am aware of your clear, my brother. By that statement, we mean to say that each moment contains not only love, but perfection. That if one were to investigate all of the energies that have added themselves into that time period which you call the present moment, if you were able to investigate your own experience leading up to that moment, any such moment would offer you the opportunity of making contact with the One Creator, of experiencing the full presence of the One Creator. Thus, the use of catalyst is the variable which offers to each entity more or less of this opportunity to realize the perfection and the love contained in each moment. Thus, if one is able to fully utilize the catalyst that is presented to one, at any time that one is able to do this, the doors to infinity open for you. Is there another query, my friend?
Yes, there. Thank you for those comments. I'll have to think about that. Because I feel myself wanting to reach out and open the door, it doesn't seem to be the smartest thing to do. The other question concerns another term that you have used, and that is the purified emotion. And I wonder if I could ask you to restate that one more time.
I am qua, and am aware of your query, my brother. The purified emotion is closely related to that which we spoke of in your first query. And this is the untangling process that each of you goes through as you utilize the catalyst which is given to you in your daily round of activities. As you are able to see where catalyst originates, to see its effect upon you, to see your response to it, to see those responses you have made previously. This ability to see the nature of your experience is also the process of untangling those emotions which are fused together, perhaps in a confusing fashion. So that you are able to separate, shall we say, anger from jealousy, from disappointment, from doubt, from hilarity, from rage, from all the various sources that may be a portion of your experience, so that when you have discovered the sources of your feelings, you will have found the various threads that together form the fabric or tapestry of your life. You will see what part each emotion plays. A purified emotion is an emotion that stands alone, that is itself pure, that has one source and one effect in your being. It is not blended with any other emotion. It is not confused for any other emotion. It is itself a thing in itself. Is there a further query?
As this purified emotion then is a reflection of the love and the light that is the universe.
I am cool and am aware of your query. We may further confuse you by suggesting that the love and the light that each so values as fundamental portions of this experience which each shares. The purified emotion is that kind of feeling that is so basic within one that one is able to see the ramifications of this feeling, its source, its object, its effect, its continued presence within one. And there is a kind of satisfaction that comes from so seeing such an emotion that will indeed reflect to you increased amounts of love and light. However, the purified emotion is a joy, shall we say, in itself, in that there is no confusion any longer as to its nature. Is there any further query?
No, thank you. I don't mind being confused, and I do appreciate your comments and valiant efforts to put into words that probably difficult to speak about. Using our language. Thanks.
I am quoted. We thank you also for your ability to perceive the difficulty that each of us has with the word description of experience. Is there another query at this time?
I have two questions from Paul Dorner that I would like to read. The first question is, somehow the year 2000 tripped a switch in me, and I have been on quite an emotional roller coaster. I don't understand where these deep feelings of anxiety come from, but I would say they are blocking love from my heart. The anti-anxiety drug seems to have kicked in for the meantime, giving me much needed relief.
I am qualified. We believe that we grasp the nature of this query. The feelings that one has about an event or a person or an experience such as the year that you have numbered, the 2000, may be investigated by the entity that so values it in order to see what value one has given to it. Look then within you to see each aspect of this event, this year, that has meaning for you. Dissect it if you can with pen and paper. Look to the essaying, the driving out of meaning within that you may not consciously be aware of. Make a list of those qualities that you feel are unique to to this year, 2000. Beside each quality, give your emotional response, that which you feel about this quality. Take this list as that which you then remove yourself into meditation to consider. Look deeply at each quality, each emotional response, and to their summation as well. There, you yourself shall find the triggers that have opened in your mental and emotional and perhaps spiritual energy systems, the torrent, as you describe it, of emotions that now move through you. As you are able to untangle these various sources and qualities of emotion and experience, then you will be able to see more clearly the power that you have given to this event and its effect upon you. Is there another query?
Yes, Paul Dorner's second question. I would also ask what might be the significance of the May 5th planetary alignment and whether that might affect one's emotion.
I am aware of your query. Again, we would recommend the same process be used for this event as well. For each of us creates the fabric of our experience by the expectations that we hold for certain kinds of events, of experiences, and of people. There are within each of us preconceived notions, shall we say, that we attach to certain events. Those of the astronomical and astrological and metaphysical moving together blend many powerful energies that only we can describe for ourselves. Thus, we recommend that this entity utilize the same procedure for discovering the value of this coming event. We correct this instrument for this event which has now passed. Is there a further query?
I would just like to follow up on something that is common to Paul's question and a conversation I had with Marilyn before we began the channeling meditation. And it has to do with what you said earlier, and I'm not quoting you exactly, of course, about blessing and forgiving and redeeming and accepting and transforming these difficult emotions. I was saying to Marilyn earlier, you're going to have to take care of yourself because no one else is interested in you having a happy heart. You're going to have to support your own worth and support your own security emotionally. And I just wondered if you could look into that. How do we support ourselves? How do we bring ourselves healing and comfort when we're dealing with these difficult emotions like anxiety?
I am quiet and am aware of your query, my sister. Within your meditative state, and this is again our recommendation for each investigation of emotion, to use meditation. Look then to those feelings which you have, for they are valuable in themselves. They are the temperature, shall we say, of your current experience. Each may be seen as a portion of a trail, a thread, shall we say, that will lead one to more fruitful finding of the value of experience. The emotions that one feels at any particular moment give one a place to begin, to assess that which is occurring in the life pattern, to see the honest and spontaneous response of self to self. Then, as one is able to utilize these emotions in the balancing process, one shall find their opposite appearing. Thus, if you are able to relive a situation in which a strong emotion occurs, and within the meditative state to see this occurring, giving it free rein, to become as large as you can imagine, then there is the opportunity for the polar opposite emotion to arise within the same meditative state, so that you begin to feel another way about a certain situation, person, or event. Then allow this polar opposite emotion to get as large and as powerful as it can. When this has completed its growth and presentation to you, then accept yourself for having both of these means by which the Creator may know itself in you, in your experience. Thus you have taught to the Creator that which you have learned within the situation. And you have seen a fuller expression of natural emotion within your being as a means by which you know the Creator in you. Thus each, working with every emotion that leaves its imprint upon you, is able to see the full range of its beingness, the appropriateness of each facet of emotion, in the direction that each emotion points toward the heart of being, so that eventually there is but one emotion for each event, that being compassion, love, forgiveness, mercy, understanding, all of those qualities of unconditional love. Is there a further query, my sister?
Just to finish up, then all emotions, all these purified rivers of the Creator, empty into love, or stem from love, or are a derivative of love, or are distortion of love?
I am quote, and I'm aware of your query, and also aware of the accuracy of each observation you have made in asking. For all does come from love, all exists in love, all is pointed towards love. The examined life is that life which is able to get a glimpse of this truth from time to time in the process of examining, balancing, and accepting each emotion as it moves through your being and points towards each heart. Is there any further query?
No, that's just a beautiful message. Thank you very much.
I am important. We thank you once again, my sister. Is there a final query at this time? I am important. And as it appears that we have exhausted the queries for this session of working, we shall thank each once again for inviting us to join you in your meditative circle. We are filled with joy at each opportunity to do so. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group, leaving each, as always, in the love and in the light of the One Infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of Kor. Adonai, my friends. Adonai.